Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Tira Anachari Kairata Madhava Kunja Vihari Kairata Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Kirishvaro Dari Gopi Janna Vallabha Jashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari
Jaya Om Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Paribraja Kachar Jostha Tarasata Shri Shimada Boy Channar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Garantaraja Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 7th canto, chapter 9th canto, chapter 2. Is this the verse he gave me? Yeah, it's okay. A little confused. Which is on the board? Which one? Vatsaprite Sutta Pramsus Vatse Prata Sutta Pramsus Tatsutam
pramatim vidhu tatsutam pramatim vidhu kanitra pramates tasmat kanitra pramates tasmat chaksho tata vivimshati chakshushota vivimshati vatsa prite sutta pramshu tatsutam pramatim vidu kanitra pramates chasmat chakshushota vivimshati vatsa prite sutta pramshu tatsutam pramatim vidu kanitra pramates tasmat chakshushota vivimshati
Thank you. Well, the word for word starts with the previous verse. I'm just going to read the translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Dista had a son by the name of Nabhaga. This Nabhaga, who was different from the Nabhaga described later, became a Vaishya by occupational duty. The son of Nabhaga was known as Bhalandan. The son of Bhalandan was Vatsapriti, and his son was Pramsu. Pramsu's son was Pramati. Pramati's son was Kanitra. Kanitra's son was Chakshush, and his son was Vivimshati.
Purport.
From Manu, one of the sons became a Kshatriya, another a Brahman, and another a Vaishya. This confirms the statement by Narad Muni, Yasya Yal Lakshanam Proktam Pungsho Varna Viviyan Jakam. Bhagavatam 7.11.35. One should always remember that Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should never be regarded as members of a caste by birth. A Brahmana may be changed into a Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya into a Brahmana. Similarly, a Brahmana or Kshatriya may be changed into a Vaishya, and a Vaishya into a Brahmana or Kshatriya. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita Chaturvanam Maya Shristam Guna Karma Vibhagasho. So, one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya or Vaishya, never by birth, but by quality. There is a great need of Brahmanas. Therefore, in the Krishna consciousness movement, we are trying to train some Brahmanas to guide human society. Because at present, there is a scarcity of Brahmanas. The brain of human society is lost. Because practically everyone is a Sudra, no one at the present moment can guide the members of society to the proper path by which to achieve the perfection of life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshushun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sva Pandantitam. Dista had a son by the name of Nabhaga. This Nabhaga, who was different from the Nabhaga described later, became a Vaishya by occupational duty. The son of Nabhaga was known as Bhallandana. The son of Bhallandana was Vatsapriti, and his son was Pramshu. Pramshu's son was Pramati. Pramati's son was Kanitra. Kanitra's son was Chakshusha, and his son was Vivimshati. So this is an interesting chapter. And we find in a few places in the Bhagavatam this kind of narration of this one son, that one son. You even find it in the Bible. This one beget that one, that one beget that one. The Bhagavatam is a transcendental literature, and every part of the Bhagavatam is uplifting for us. So even this description of this chapter, description of all these, this one came from that one, is important. I can't understand why, but it's important. It must be important because here it is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, narrated by Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami, they narrated this, and therefore there must be something to it. Of course it sets the scene also, because as you go through these dynasties, these lists of different personalities, there's always a diamond which manifests
in that dynasty, and then we hear about that personality and his glories and what he did and his service. So, you know, it's important somehow or other. So here, Prabhupada is making the point, because we see from this narration that the progeny of one single personality who is high class, Brahminical personality, schooled in Brahminical culture, practicing in that way, his sons, some of them became Vaishyas, some of them became Kshatriyas, and some of them were Brahmins. So this idea that's somewhat prevalent that, you know, you take the caste of your parents is not supported by the scriptures, by the Bhagavatam. In fact, there's no caste. It's not caste. It's varna. And what is the varna? According to qualities. As Prabhupada has quoted from the Gita, Krishna himself says that he created this system. Chaturvana maya shristam, maya shristam. He created it. Guna karma vibhagasha. But the vibhag, the separation of the categories, is made by guna and karma. Guna karma vibhagasha. So it's not who your father was. It's not who your father was. And we hear the example of the high court judge. You know, the high court judge, he's sitting on the big bench and he has children, but his children, they're not necessarily high court judges. They could become, if they qualify themselves, they go through the process, they qualify themselves, they could become, but it's not automatic. It's not automatic that they can take up a seat on the bench of the high court. Similarly, you may be born of a very Brahminical or Kshatriya or whatever parent, father, mother, but it doesn't mean that you're automatically in that category. You have to qualify yourself by your and it comes from your particular the training comes later, but you're actually born with a certain kind of karma, a certain kind of susceptibility, if you want, to particular mode, right? So the Brahmins are in the mode of goodness, it's said, right? So the Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness. So you might be born into the mode of goodness, but unless that's maintained, and it can be by training, and it can happen. It's not necessary that you have to go in a different direction, right? But it's not guaranteed, and it's depending on you and your actions and reactions. So Kshatriyas also mixture. They're predominantly Raja, Rajasic. They're called Rajas, right? Rajas, the kings. They're Rajasic. And they have some goodness in there too, the Acharyas tell us. And then Vaishyas, mixture of passion and ignorance. And then Sudras, mostly in the mode of ignorance, it's said. And in this age of Kali, as Prabhupada points out, we're all born into darkness of ignorance. We're all Sudras. We're all born in that mode. Anyone disagree with that? We can, if we're a little open-minded about our own situation, we can agree that we don't really have the qualities of the people in goodness that we read about. We read about them, don't we? We study the scriptures and we see these personalities and we see their behavior, and we don't necessarily come to that level. But we're devotees, or we're trying to be devotees. So we hear also from the scriptures that devotees are beyond that. They're beyond goodness, passion, ignorance. They're beyond the varna system. They're beyond Brahmins. They're beyond Kshatriyas. So how to reconcile that? We hear it, but is it a fact, but how is it working for us? How's it working for us? Are we actually beyond those, beyond Brahman, beyond these systems, which Krishna says he produced, he made them, he made everything. All Madhaval, Madhaval, Vachi, Madhaval, Madhaval, Riddhi, Shmaranti, Sadhavak, Sarve, Sarvakareshu, Madhavam. Everything. What to speak of the Varnashram system, everything comes from Madhava, Krishna. So for us, as individuals, a striving to become Krishna conscious, we also have to be a little open-minded about where we're at, not about everyone else, but about where we are at. If you read Lilamrita, for instance, you see that many boys and girls, as Prabhupada referred to them, joined him in his effort to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Now, he engaged them according to what was necessary for what he wanted to achieve. So you might have someone who is very active and, you know, full of passion, but he engaged them in worshipping the deity. Or like that, so many different things, and a lot of them he engaged in the preaching activities, of course, right? So they were devotees, aspiring devotees, and Prabhupada engaged them according to the need, not according to their guna and karma. That's what we saw. And many of them, all of them, you can say, were able to achieve so many wonderful things on behalf of Prabhupada, like, you know, setting up temples, building temples, publishing books, distributing those books, setting up farm communities, so many different things, schools, this and that. All by you know, Krishna says that he preserves what you have and he carries what you lack. So for the devotee, it's kind of a balancing act. This is my opinion. I don't know what the facts of the matter are. But from my perspective, from my experience, and this is what I think, is that we can do anything in the Krishna consciousness mission. Not for ourselves, but in the mission of Srila Prabhupada. We can do anything. It doesn't matter what our so-called qualities and past. But we have to do it first under the authority of someone, something in the service of Prabhupada, not on our own speculation. One. And two, with loyalty and commitment to that mission. And in that case, we can do anything. That's my view. But we see that unless we are fully absorbed in our practice of sadhana, then the modes can take over. We see this in a practical way. The modes can take over. So that loyalty and commitment means that you have to be solid. You have to have a solid sadhana program. Otherwise it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know, and that sadhana program is what protects us from those modes and allows us to act as a pujari if that's what's needed, although we're not necessarily so qualified in that area, or as a administrator, run a temple because that's what's needed. We can do it. We can do it. And Krishna will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. And that means we have to also understand what we lack and go into that. Go into those areas and educate ourselves. Krishna will help, but it's not that you're just going to wave some wand and you can do it. You have to practice. You have to understand. You have to associate with those who know. Take advice from those who are practiced in that particular whatever it is that you lack. And if you can't do that, if you can't take shelter of that sadhana, then you will face problems if you're trying to do something which is not according to your particular karma, according to your particular qualities. So, yeah, that's my view. on how it affects devotees, what Varnashram means to devotees. The ashram part is another. I think it's pretty close, Mataji. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Maybe the fan's disturbing your
Hare Krishna.
Well, it's a bit late now because the class is over almost. You should have spoken up a little earlier. I'm sorry to say. Anyway, it's no loss. No loss. Are there any questions or comments? Mataji. Here. Please pass the microphone. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Thank you,
Rama, Hare Hare.
For a very thoughtful class. We know that Bhagwan and Bhakti are transcendental, and we have that verse where iron put into fire turns like fire. So we also know that when the devotional service is performed, that what makes a devotee transcendental. But we also know that there are 49 different kinds of mixed modes, and performing devotional service also could be under the modes. So please expand or reconcile that. Thank you.
Did you get that? Mataji, I didn't get the question.
Okay, so the point is, devotional service, I've read several places that once one performs devotional service, that moment, it's actually transcendental because we are dealing with bhakti, which is transcendental, and Bhagwan, which is transcendental. So, naturally, when one performs devotional service, even if it is dancing in front of the deities, that is like part of pure devotional service. But we know that there are different modes. One performs devotional service in different modes. So can you explain the difference, whether if it is simply by coming in contact, it is transcendental, or it is valid that we are performing devotional service in different modes?
Well, in general, my understanding is mostly, most of us, maybe not all of you, but most of us, are performing what's called as Mishra Bhakti. That's mixed. As devotional service, mixed. The pure devotees of the Lord, they are performing bhakti. We are attempting to perform bhakti. We are engaged in the process of purifying ourselves so that we can perform bhakti. Bhakti is not some cheap thing. Although we sometimes take it cheaply, it's not cheap. It's a direct, someone who's bhakti, who's engaged in bhakti, is on the same platform as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's not the same as, I didn't say that, but he's on the same platform, Sat Chit Ananda. Same platform, but he knows what his relationship is with that Lord, and therefore he is fully cognizant of that, and he's performing bhakti. He's engaging with the Lord. Our position is slightly different. We're attempting, since we're not pure, since our hearts are not pure and we're still covered our bhakti is mishra, it's mixed. It's mixed with passion, ignorance, goodness, and that's my understanding. So you will come to that stage, we will come to that stage, and you know, Adashraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, there's those levels that are described in that verse which is not quite coming to me. Until you reach praying. And praying bhakti is that bhakti that you mentioned in the beginning. But we're not on that level yet. We have to make our way through that. And why did the acharyas give us that? They gave detailed descriptions so that you can understand where you're at. It's a road map. They gave us the road map. So if we're sitting, if we want to go to London, but we're sitting in Mumbai, we can't say we're in London. We can only say we're on the way to London and we have the map and we're going. Does that make sense?
Thank you. Very nice explanation.
Anyone else? Mataji, take the mic. Take the mic.
Hare Krishna. Can I comment?
If you go too near, it also becomes inaudible. You can't understand. So go.
Hare Krishna. So there's the action and there's the consciousness behind the action. So it could seem that two people are doing the same service, but their consciousness can be different.
Absolutely. That's the difference between... You see, a few days ago was Bhadra Purnima. Bhadra Purnima. Bhadra Purnima is very special because... we haven't talked about it much in the past, but this year... We had a campaign, Bhadra Purnima campaign, because in the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami describes that, you know, if you distribute, place a Bhagavatam on a golden throne and distribute or give it to someone or whatever, then you'll go back home, back to Godhead. And so our illustrious Vaisheshekar Prabhu, our marketing and communications director, picked up on that and said, "Hey, why aren't we talking about this? It's such a wonderful opportunity given to us by in the Bhagavatam." So we started to make a little campaign about it. And we started to the Bhadra Purnima campaign, and as a result of that campaign, thousands of Srimad Bhagavatams were distributed in the last couple of weeks. There was maybe you could say a month. There was a lot of preparation involved. I mean, it was for us at the BBT, it was a kind of a revelation. So then getting back to your point, you know, the consciousness behind that, we were selling books. So then you go to, you know, there's also other publishers who are selling books. And they are doing it with a different consciousness. So that's the difference between a bookseller and a bookseller. They're both booksellers, but these booksellers, their consciousness is that they want to give Krishna consciousness. They want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness by giving. And the other one, I don't know what they're thinking. Yeah, something like that. So yes, it's very correct. And it applies to everything. You know, everything we do, other people do. We clean the floor in the temple. Other people are cleaning floors. What's the big deal? The big deal is the consciousness. We're cooking. So many people are cooking. It doesn't matter what you think of. It's all being done by other people. And it's also being done by us. Now, what is our consciousness? So we have to ensure that our consciousness is Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it's no different than anyone else. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.